us open with hymn number 28. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near and confess with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, Confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth, O Lord, my protector. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen against me. They have not set God before them. He has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who hast bountifully given us thy blessing and our daily bread, we beseech thee, preserve us from covetousness, and so quicken our hearts that we willingly share thy blessed gifts with our needy brethren, that we may be found faithful stewards of thy gifts, and abide in thy grace when we shall be removed from our stewardship, and shall come before thy judgment, through our Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Our Old Testament lesson for this ninth Sunday after Trinity is found in the 16th chapter of Proverbs, the first through the ninth verse. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps.
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You who sit your glory above the heavens.
The epistle lesson is found in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verses 6 through 13. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Here ends the epistle lesson.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. Alleluia.
The Gospel is found in the 16th chapter of Luke, the first through the ninth verse. He also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg.
I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him, and said to the first, How much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, Take your bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, And how much do you owe? So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 430.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the gospel lesson, Luke 16, verses 1, continuing on through verse 13. He also said to his disciples, "There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward.' Then the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do? My master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.' So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. And so he said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Here ends our sermon text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, what a strange parable this is. How could a man be condemned for forgiving his master's debtors without permission, even after he had already wasted his master's goods? How can Jesus say, "Make friends by unrighteous mammon"? Well, the only reason that this parable ever confuses anybody is that they neglect to see the application which Jesus himself makes of it. This lesson is actually very simple. The children of this world are very shrewd when it comes to their use of wealth. Even the worst scoundrel knows how to use money to make friends and avoid poverty. That is what the unrighteous do with unrighteous mammon. Jesus gives us a very striking example of how corrupt the children of this world are when it comes to money. The steward in the parable was sort of like a stockbroker or a financial manager. He had control of the assets of his employer, and it was his job to manage them and to turn a profit. But he didn't. He wasted his employer's money. He used it for his own pleasure. He didn't turn a profit, and eventually somebody ratted him out to his employer. The gig was up, and he was given notice. "Explain yourself, for you're done." The steward was caught fair and square, and he had no defense, and he knew it. He knew that he was going to lose everything if he didn't think fast and find somebody else that he could mooch off of. And so in for a penny, in for a pound, he'd already wasted a lot of his master's goods. He might as well waste more while he was at it, because he was already going to lose the stewardship. And so he began to forgive a significant part of the debts owed by the olive oil and wheat wholesale sailors who had borrowed the rich man's reserves in order to sell them at market. He actually rewrote the entire bill of goods. Where one man owed money for 1,000 gallons of olive oil, now he had a new bill of sale saying he only owed 500. Where one person owed 1,000 bushels of wheat, suddenly his contract was only for 800. By further wasting the rich man's goods, the steward was guaranteeing himself a new position in the household of the merchants who sold the rich man's goods. It's not surprising that the unrighteous steward would continue to abuse his master's goods so as to make friends for himself. Nor is it really that surprising that his master, who does not represent God after all, but just another child of this world, another slave of unrighteous mammon, would find his steward shrewd and actually commend him for being so shrewd. After all, one weasel recognizes another weasel. That's how the world works. These kinds of stories continue to make headlines, but no one is really shocked when it happens. As we can see from the parable, shady business dealings, fraud, and embezzlement have been going on for a very long time. Mammon veritably breeds unrighteousness, or as Paul puts it, the love of money is the root of all evil. But it is not only the unrighteous who must use the money and the goods of this world. It is also the righteous. Every Christian and the whole church on earth has to use unrighteous mammon. Even Jesus had to make use of unrighteous mammon, for he also had to eat. And with unrighteous mammon, he helped others. It is not our greatest treasure, this wealth that we have. It is the smallest thing. Our greatest treasure is the Word of God and the sacraments. There we have the forgiveness not only of half or a portion of our debts, but of all of our sins in Jesus' name. And what is more, resurrection from the dead, eternal life. But we still need the lesser treasure. We need money, property, shelter, food, and clothing for ourselves and for our families. Even though all of these things will be burned up when this age of the world comes to an end, we still need them now. They are unrighteous mammon because they are this world's goods, constantly being used for sinful purposes by the children of this age of the world. But we need them nevertheless, for we too are part of this world until God in his mercy takes us out of it into our everlasting home. So then what are we to do with it all? Consider how Jesus himself used the unrighteous mammon. Last week, we saw him turn 7 loaves of bread and a few fish into food that could feed 4,000 people. That was surely a wonderful use of unrighteous mammon. Our unrighteous politicians also know this trick very well, except they do it backwards. They turn much taxes into little benefit. See how many favors they hand out and how many votes they buy with tax dollars and government welfare. They do this to get more of the unrighteous mammon, to secure for themselves a comfortable position in Congress or the presidency or in any other office of power. They use the unrighteous mammon to get more unrighteous mammon. And like the master commending the unjust steward, they congratulate one another for doing so. But Jesus used unrighteous mammon in the service of righteousness. The physical means may be the same. People were fed, but the ends are very different. And so it is that out of unrighteous mammon, both good and evil can come. And even many things that may seem good in themselves, like the forgiving of debts, for instance, can be done with an evil heart. But the heart of Jesus is good. And so he always makes good use of unrighteous mammon. What greater use of unrighteous mammon was there than when Jesus was crucified? For there, the stuff of this world, nails, wood, 30 pieces of silver, the tax dollars that paid the salaries of the Roman soldiers, even the jealousy of the rulers in Jerusalem who coveted their positions of power and wealth, all of this unrighteous mammon came together in the body of Jesus, who used these things to make God a friend of the entire world. There, where wicked men conspired together to murder the Son of God, where unrighteous mammon bought the betrayal of Judas, there all that unrighteous mammon was used by Jesus to gain for all the world not only righteousness but an eternal home, if only they would believe it. but they will not believe it unless it be given to them. And just like the debtors of the rich man in the parable, the earthly elements by which Jesus has blessed all the world are given out freely. Neither we nor anyone else deserve our debt to be even partially paid. And yet, unlike the unrighteous steward, Jesus has paid not just 20 or 50% of our debt. He has paid it all. And Jesus did not have to go behind his Father's back in order to pay our debt of sin. For the Father himself sent his Son into the world so that the world through him might be saved. When Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, he took unrighteous mammon, the flesh and blood of a sinful human race, and he became the only sinless man, living a righteous life that was perfect in every way. And so when Jesus gives to you what to the world seems like nothing, or just more of the same, water, bread, wine, to you it is so much more, because Jesus has taken unrighteous mammon and made it righteous, and with it has gained not just friends, but brethren and sisters. You cannot do what Jesus did, for you are not Jesus. You cannot take what is sinful and make it sinless. You cannot sanctify earthly money, bread, or any such thing and turn it into an instrument by which you or anyone else is made righteous. You are part of this unrighteous world, just as much as the unrighteous steward or his equally unrighteous master. But you do not have to do any of these things, for Jesus has done them all for you. He has placed into your hand every good thing that you have. He has given you the lesser treasures, such as food and house and clothing, and he has given you the greater treasure of his word and sacraments and the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Both of these he gives to you so that you can use them in his service. He gives you food to feed yourself and your family and the poor around you. He gives you more money than you need so that you can be a wise steward with it and put it to good use. And he daily and richly forgives you your sins. You cannot make an unrighteous thing righteous, but you can take the unrighteous mammon and use it to feed those who are hungry, give a drink to those who are thirsty, clothe those who are naked, provide shelters for those who are homeless, and provide company for those who are in prison. And you can speak the word of God to the poor in spirit. And you can comfort them with the knowledge that their sins are forgiven through the cross of Jesus. And they will indeed repay you. Not in this life, but when they receive you into heavenly places. For it is not that they open the door for you and sneak you into heaven when no one is looking. But they will appear not as themselves, but in the person of Jesus himself, who will welcome you there and say to you, "Inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, you have done it to me." And when Jesus so welcomes you into your everlasting home, it will not be because you have made good use of unrighteous mammon. The unrighteous steward was kind to his master's debtors. What good did it do him? He remained a child of this world. His deed did not turn him into a child of light with an eternal inheritance. After all, what can anything that you do with the things of this world compare to the heavenly inheritance which Jesus has prepared for you? Even if you did all things well, nothing could possibly earn that. And what good thing do you have in this life that God has not given you? He does not give you these things because he is expecting you to earn your way into heaven, because he knows your sins. He knows that you are like the unrighteous steward and that you will waste his goods. He knows that in your flesh you serve mammon rather than God. And nevertheless, he gives you the lesser treasures. And because he has lived a perfect life in your place, because he has suffered and died for your sins, because he has made you a child of light by your baptism, he counts even the weak deeds which you do with unrighteous mammon as if they were perfect in every way and done by him. How much more readily then should you show compassion with your earthly goods, because Jesus has shown such compassion to you. And if even the shrewd children of this age can make friends with unrighteous mammon, how much more can you who have not only been given the earthly treasures, but also the true riches of heaven, the body and blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, and the gospel? Use these then not to make friends for this life, but for eternity, by sharing with your neighbor both your unrighteous mammon and the true riches of heaven. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who searchest all hearts and knowest all thoughts, grant us now as we approach the throne of thy grace true humility and penitence. Do not remember the sins of our youth or our manifold transgressions, but according to your tender mercies and for the sake of Jesus, your only begotten Son, pardon our iniquity. By the indwelling of your Holy Spirit, save us from lusting after evil things, from idolatry, from immorality, from unbelief, or the great and shameful sins. Grant us steadfast faith that in every trial we may in no wise test thy patience by murmuring, complaint, or doubt. Lead us not into temptation, but strengthen us by thy power to withstand it in the evil day. And finally be delivered from the reach of the tempter's arm. Grant unto us true understanding of thy word, so that we may be gifted, we may be guided in all judgment, and be shown the way that leads to everlasting life. Keep before us the warning and admonition of the law. Enable us to learn from it what we ought to do and what thou hast forbidden and wilt punish. And help us to obey thy commandments with joy. We thank thee for all thy benefits. Help us to use with faithful stewardship all that thou hast bestowed upon us, being heartily grateful for thine unfailing goodness, and deeply conscious that thou wilt call us one day to give an account of our stewardship. O Lord, remember the covenant thou hast made with thy people. Provide them pastors who shall lead them to the spiritual rock, Jesus Christ, that they may drink from the living fountain, the pure water of eternal life. Preserve them from all who would beguile them with false words, and keep them from all heresy, schism, or false religion. Keep our country within thy care, that honor and integrity may be upheld, and that all lawlessness may be put down. Especially do we entreat thy favor upon all our rulers, that they may be endowed with wisdom to govern after thy good pleasure. Guard and defend our homes, that parents may be kept in the bonds of love and godliness, and may rule their children well, nourishing them in truth and righteousness. We pray for all who are ill, or who are in danger of body or soul, for all who are anxious or suffering disappointment. Be thou present with them in their affliction. Show them the way out of all their troubles, and save them for thy mercy's sake. Heavenly Father, who did not spare thy Son, but freely delivered him up for us all, mercifully grant these and all other acceptable petitions which thou readest in our hearts. In his name, amen.
We sing hymn number 437. Thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, therefore with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
take and eat the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. The blood of our Lord Jesus shed for the remission of your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
We close with hymn 52. Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Good.